listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Jedi scum.
I will be the most powerful Jedi ever.
Lord Vader.
Soon the rebellion will be crushed.
It's a trap!
Now, fulfill your destiny.
It's unfair.
Liar!
Impressive. Most impressive.
What have I done?
I am the father.
If you only knew the power of the dark side.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Well, isn't that fun? It seems as though every single one of our producers who sit in and work on the show, they hear me talk about Star Wars, and then they find our Star Wars production, which is terrific, because if I was stuck on a desert island and could only listen to one piece of music for the rest of my life, it might be the Imperial March from John Williams, or maybe the Star Wars soundtrack just goes on and on. You know, what's really funny, too, I didn't notice it until Sunday afternoon, but the Olympics took a break on big NBC. And so while they were doing the news and kind of re-racking for the evening, which a lot of the evening coverage is taped, of course, they package it together in primetime. Paris in primetime, it's called. And Mike Tirico does a wonderful job anchoring. But while I was breaking from the Olympics and making steak, I know I didn't... Goodness. I did not live up to my husband's standards. He grills steak. It was thunder and lightning outside, and I was not going to grill. He was taking a Sunday afternoon nap, which was awesome. And so instead, I put steaks in the broiler. Now, I think they're good that way, but I felt bad. He only had half of his. I'm not sure he was hungry, but it might have been an indictment on the fact that I made steaks in the broiler, which is definitely not the Texas way. But I digress. While that was happening and the steaks were in the broiler, and I was preparing dinner, I realized that TNT was doing its Star Wars marathon thing. It generally does happen the first weekend of every month. I think because then they get to May, and May the 4th be with you, and it's just a thing. It's already muscle memory for Star Wars fans. So yes, they were right at the beginning of The Empire Strikes Back. So watched a little bit of it and actually just saw that scene where we hear Darth Vader say, impressive, most impressive, where he thinks he's got Luke Skywalker already dead to rights in the carbon freeze, and Skywalker uses the Force to go flying up to the ceiling and avoid the first attempt at carbon freezing him. So, yeah, I just watched part of that. And I do love Star Wars. It was a nice break from all the work prep on Sunday, because there was a lot of work prep on Sunday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Glad to have you with us. That was a really quick first hour. No guest from Paris on this edition of the show, but we will have a guest joining us live Wednesday morning. I know that to be true. That'll be a guest to talk about basketball, because we really haven't spent a lot of time talking about it during pool play a little bit. I think the Kevin Durant question, whether or not he'll be starting at any point. Also the question about Jason Tatum versus Anthony Davis versus Joel Embiid. And Steve Kerr, he and his coaching staff have chosen to keep guys out and sit them on the bench as opposed to throwing them in there so that they can pick up minutes toward the end of a game. Maybe that's not something that you do for an NBA All-Star, a former MVP, an NBA champion. Maybe it's considered disrespectful to throw guys out there, even if it's an opportunity for them to get into the Olympics. I don't really understand it. I would think when a team is winning by 20 points, then sure, let some other guys get out there and try to finagle rotations and see what other combinations of five you can come up with that really work for you, because the games will get harder. So we'll talk men's basketball coming up on Wednesday morning. And then women's basketball as well into now the knockout stage, if you will. So they've won 58 consecutive Olympic games. The women, well, and the men too. Anything other than gold medal is considered a massive disappointment. Men's soccer is out now. So getting to the group stage for the first time since 2000 in the Olympics, but losing, and I still say that's an incredible achievement for the under 23 youth team, essentially, that they had out there. And just to make the Olympics, but to advance to the knockout stage was awesome. The quarterfinals, they got to play in Paris. The women's team is still going, but barely. Did you all see the game over the weekend? Trinity Rodman, she's one of the breakout stars of these Olympics. And she had a goal in stoppage time, a terrific goal in stoppage time that allows the United States to get the 1-0 win or 1-0 win and now advance to the quarterfinals as well. So, yeah, you've got a bunch of the different team sports. Volleyball, I really love the beach volleyball, which I think is kind of funny, actually, because it's not a beach. It's just sand. It's a sand court in the middle of Paris. But it is the shadow of the Eiffel Tower. And if I'm not mistaken, that's where Tom Brady and his daughter were posted up on Sunday. I saw them on NBC. It certainly looked like they were at the volleyball court. And his daughter, Vivian, was setting the ball and kind of, what's that called? They're volleying the ball back and forth just to... Yeah, just to entertain themselves, and lots of people with their cameras and camera phones out to take photos. In fact, Brady himself was taking video of his daughter volleying with some fans in the crowd during a break in the action. But I really enjoy the beach volleyball, and when I went to the actual beach on Saturday, spent 6-7 hours on the Jersey Shore to get some relief from the heat and humidity. I saw people playing beach volleyball, actual volleyball on the beach. But I do enjoy the sand volleyball that they're having in Paris. A bunch of American teams that are still alive for medals as we head into week number two. 855-212-4227. Online at A-Law Radio or our Facebook page. Good to hear from so many of you about the Olympics. I'm glad that you're into them too. Because I know that there's some people that don't give them as much of a chance. But I believe sports can bring us together across all kinds of different cultural and language and ethnic barriers. And it's really amazing. I think every 4 years for summer, and then we'll have the winter again in 2 years, just to see these athletes compete and the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. For instance, we'll talk about the golf, but Jon Rahm, goodness, what a collapse by him. What a missed opportunity by Jon Rahm at the Olympics, as you can imagine. For him to let go of that gold medal in such painful fashion, even though Scottie Scheffler deserved every bit of it, maybe he feels a bit like Carlos Alcaraz, who actually apologized for losing to Novak Djokovic and said he let the entire nation of Spain down. So, yeah, there's a lot of pressure on these athletes, and in some cases, the pressure is far different than what you have in the United States, especially where the countries have different governments. But at the same time, I think a lot of people get caught up in the pride and the red, white, and blue. And it's just neat for a couple of weeks in the summer. It's even managed to make the NFL look not quite as much of a behemoth this time of the year. I just got this tweet, A-Law Radio. Fantastic race, the 100 meters. Noah was behind at the beginning and turned up his afterburner to maximize, or no, I'm sorry, turned up his afterburner to maximum to catch Johnson at the tape. Biggest moment on the biggest stage. Well, good. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Yeah, that's one of the marquee events, of course, is the men's 100 meters and the women's too, actually, which took place on Saturday. I believe Sha'Carri Richardson ended up with the silver. So she also lost, and not quite a photo finish, but a very tight finish at the stripe. I just love the personality of Noah. I love the fact that he is unabashedly Noah, right? And if you don't know his story, I saw this. Let me see if I can find it really quick so I can read it to you verbatim. I didn't know a ton about him before the last year or so, where NBC has tried to promote him more the last few years, or the last year, I should say, through the Olympic trials and just the personality and his bold predictions. And he's now a two-time Olympian, a six-time world champ, and he's also overcome some really challenging circumstances. Not to mention, he's the first American man to win the 100 meters in 20 years. But aside from that, what he's overcome, he posted this 7 hours ago. I have asthma, allergies, dyslexia, ADD, anxiety, and depression. But I will tell you that what you have does not define what you can become. Why not you? Exclamation point. Not a question mark there. Exclamation point. So congratulations to Noah. And yeah, that poignant reunion with his mom post-race makes it even more dramatic when you think about what the two of them went together and what she fought through with her son. So yeah, online, A-Law Radio, what are the moments that stand out, the memorable moments for you? And then also on our Facebook page. And right now they're back in the River Seine. There's this kind of interesting tag team. It's a relay of the triathlon events. And so apparently the water is clean enough, or they just don't care anymore. Ryan is listening in North Carolina. Ryan, welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Amy. My first time calling. I listen to you all the time.
Cool.
But tonight I'm just so hyped about everything. First of all, thank you for playing the Star Wars music, because that just hyped me up even more. When I wasn't watching sports today, when I took a break, I was watching the Star Wars marathon.
Yes.
So anytime you take a break from sports and you've got either a Star Wars marathon, a Marvel or a DC marathon, that's a great weekend.
Yes, it is.
So I was just so hyped about that. So I was doing that too. What I called about, the Olympics have been good. Like, the Olympics have been really good this year, and so far, and now we look up and here football is the same week. It's just preseason, but yeah. We've got every team in football playing also this week. So if the Olympics, as good as they've been, if this doesn't get you hyped for football, then you're just not a sports fan. Because now we've got the Olympics and football together. Baseball pennant races are heating up big time. This is a good sports time. And like I said, then throw in DC, Marvel, and Star Wars also, and it's going good. And you're right about something else you touched on also. Like today when I was out for a little while, we watched some of the Olympics, and there was four guys. None of us knew each other, and we were all standing around watching the Olympics, and we just all got to talking about the Olympics, and then we jumped into football, and then we jumped into the baseball pennant races. All of us didn't even know each other, and by the time the conversation ended, you would have thought all five of us actually had known each other forever.
It was
just that good.
Yeah, it brings people together. It gives us something in common to talk about. The only thing that you need is to have a love for the United States or an appreciation for what the athletes are doing. That's enough to start a conversation. And yeah, you're right. I think this actually does make the NFL, for a couple of weeks anyway, just 2 weeks, and then it'll be back, but make the NFL take a back seat for a short time.
Well, as soon as the NFL games get these preseason games this week, when they do turn boring, when all the bench warming players come in that are not going to make the team, and the games start getting boring, we know we have the Olympics for this week. We can at least flip back to.
That's right. Or in lieu of that, we have Star Wars Marathon on the weekends.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Ryan. Good to talk to you.
Thank you so much.
Let's talk to Chicago Johnny. Now, are you in Chicago or are you in Vegas?
I'm still in Vegas.
Oh, okay, I wasn't sure. Because
I'm not going back to Chicago until September.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, because Nick, who is answering the phones and running the board and getting all the audio tonight, he's not familiar with you, even though you are a bit of a mascot of the show.
Yeah, but here's what I wanted to ask you. Now, I've been watching a lot of the Olympics, mm-hmm. right? I watched a lot of it all week long, and I've seen all the events, but I've never seen not one time anybody, any athlete, actually receive their medal. Not one time have I ever seen anybody.
You haven't seen anyone actually get one?
get a medal, be on the podium, raise a flag. Not one time have I ever seen it. I mean, am I missing it?
Yeah, I think you are. For instance, on Sunday, it was a viral moment, and we'll talk about it here in a second. Scottie Scheffler got his medal, stood up on the podium. They showed the entire national anthem. At the end of it, he collapses in tears. He just starts bawling. So that's I remember. But not just that. The U.S. Women's Gymnastics team, I saw them on the podium receiving their medals. I saw Katie Ledecky get her medal and hear the anthem after the 1500. So yeah, I've definitely heard.
How in the heck did I miss?
Well, I think I think they shoehorn them into the coverage. So maybe it's coming in or out of a break, or it's after the event is done. They go and they follow another event, and then they come back to the medal ceremony. Because you know the medal ceremony doesn't happen immediately after the event. I think they take a minute for interviews, blah blah blah, whatever.
Yeah.
And so yeah, they kind of shoehorn them in. They wedge them in with other stuff, and it's not every single one of them. I would assume if you're watching the coverage on Peacock, or if you're watching some of the other coverage that's live, but when it's taped, they're probably going to work in other actual events as opposed to the medal ceremonies and the national anthems. I've even heard a couple for France. So for instance, the Léon Marchand, one of his gold medals, you know, he represents France. I saw his medal ceremony at the Aquatic Center, and the fans were singing the French national anthem at the top of their lungs. So I have seen a few of them, but again, with the taped coverage, they don't always go back to them just because they have so many other events that they can kind of package together.
I see. I just couldn't believe that. I've never seen one time. And I watch a lot of these.
Well, if you have your smartphone, I highly recommend that you Google National Anthem Scottie Scheffler, because his reaction is, I mean, this is a guy who's won majors. He's the number one golfer in the world. And yet it's the end of the national anthem that reduces him to a puddle.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, not to change the subject, but we had 113 today.
Oh, my gosh. Did you stay inside or stay at the pool?
Are you kidding me? I'm at the pool. Are you nuts? I always go by the pool. Amy, have a good morning.
Thank you.
I'll talk to you again soon.
All right, Johnny. Good to talk to you. Thanks so much for paying attention. Yeah, I saw someone else ask me about the medal presentations on our Facebook page, too. And again, if you're watching live coverage, you're probably more likely to get the medal ceremony. But a lot of these networks, whether it's Big NBC or USA or E or any of the other networks, CNBC, I think, as well. The issue is they have so much material, and only on Peacock are you getting every single event live. So Peacock is offering all the events, not just the ones that the Americans are competing in. What we did see on Sunday that I actually haven't seen otherwise on Big NBC is they were showing all the heats of the 100 meters leading up to the final that took place in the afternoon. So with the time difference and the time change, so much of the coverage that we're getting on the major networks, like right now I'm watching the triathlon live on USA, but a lot of what you're seeing at night is packaged. So it's taped and it's a producer who has figured out where, you know, how and where they can show the most number of incredible American Olympic moments and put as much in as possible. And I would dare say in the minds of a producer, in the minds of those who are running the show, unless it's a really emotional moment for the anthem or for the medal ceremony, they're likely not to show those over and over and over again. You catch them before, you catch them after, but they want to use that time to show other victories or other big competitions. If that's just going from my media background, if I had to guess, I would say that's probably why. So yeah, they're skipping them primarily because of the time crunch with so many other events they want to show. Online at A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page as well. Love to see your reactions to the Olympics over the weekend. Want to get to Scottie Scheffler because this was pure Scottie. And it doesn't matter what the venue, when he is golfing the way that he did on Sunday, watch out. Also, I'd be hard-pressed, as much as I am a USA shill, I'd be hard-pressed to find another moment that made me smile as big as Novak Djokovic winning a gold medal. And I'll explain why coming up. 855-212-4227. Good to connect with you online as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Scottie Scheffler adds gold to his green jackets. The United States has won another gold medal here in Paris. Scottie Scheffler is an Olympic champion.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
As often happens during golf tournaments, Scottie Scheffler finished before his other competitors, and so he had to wait. But he had posted a minus 19. You guys, he was 9 under par in the final round of the Olympics. His signature calm, his signature even keel, his signature kind of deadpan facial expressions, they were there for the most part. They were in operation for the most part until the medal ceremony. And we just talked about some of these moments with our friend Chicago Johnny when he called. So you'll hear Scotty explain why he broke down coming up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So there were a lot of golfers, big name golfers, who were within a few shots of the lead and who all had their opportunities. For instance, John Rahm, he started the day with the lead. But not only did he squander it, he did it in such a dramatic way that it had to wear on him. A 4-shot lead. It disappeared in 2 holes. That's golf. That's sports, right? He had a double bogey and Scotty was charging. How about Rory McIlroy? He hit a wedge shot into the water. Xander Schauffele, who just won the Open Championship and was heading into the Olympics on a major high. He had 4 holes that he played in 4 over par. And so different guys had different opportunities. Meanwhile, Scottie Scheffler starts his round 4 strokes behind the leader. And early in his back 9, he was 6 shots off the lead. But this is Scottie. And we know what he does when he gets not only locked in with his putter, but when he gets to the point where he is able to go pin seeking, if you will. So he aims right at the pin. And when he finds that groove, it's incredible to watch him play golf. There really is no one better in the game, but the putting is humongous. And when other guys were leaving putts out there, he was hitting the ones that he needed to. He birdied 5 of his final 6 holes to post a 19 under, tied the course record at Le Golf National. It's so original. Le Golf National. And he does it with a 62 on his round Sunday. So yeah, I enjoyed watching this. Now, I was watching it tape delayed. I didn't see it live. I knew he had won, but I did enjoy watching the surge by Scheffler, who was just so incredible on the back 9. And it's kind of neat, too, to see Tommy Fleetwood, who missed a late putt that might have extended the round, if you will. But Tommy Fleetwood takes the silver, and then Hideki Matsuyama ends up with a bronze. And both these guys had birdie opportunities on those last few holes, but it was Scheffler who was able to sink the putts and take advantage of a course that was playing fairly easily for these guys. So it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, and many of you have told me that Scheffler's reaction to winning the gold and hearing the national anthem was probably one of your favorite moments of the weekend. Yeah, well, he was definitely emotional. The entire anthem goes on, save the last 5 seconds, and he's stoic. He's kind of singing, not belting it out at the top of his lungs, but he's mouthing the words and maybe singing just so the guys on either side of him can hear. And then they get to the last few strains of music, and he just melts into a big old puddle, which is pretty incredible.
I would say first and foremost, I'm proud, you know, of the country that I'm from. I'm proud to be an American. And you know, I got emotional the other night watching the gold medal ceremony for the women's gymnastics. You know, I take tremendous pride in coming over here and representing my country. And yeah, it's the same thing. Like when you go to a sporting event, you hear everybody in the stands singing the national anthem. It's a pretty special thing to be a part of, and I think that's something that we take tremendous pride in. And you know, it was just very emotional being up there on stage there as the flag is being raised and the, you know, sitting there singing the national anthem. And yeah, it's a definitely one I'll remember for a long time.
You don't often hear answers that long from Scottie Scheffler, but his pride in being a member of Team USA, his incredible performance, especially on the back nine, he said he saw that John Rahm, he wasn't really paying attention to the leaderboard. He says he didn't even know if he was in contention for a good portion of his round. He saw that Rahm had hit 20 under and realized he had to be a little more aggressive. He had to try to move his way up the leaderboard. So that's when he became the Scottie Scheffler that is locked in, and it feels like his golf shots are more lasers than they are anything. Yes, awesome. And his putter sets him apart among the best in the world. So congratulations to Scottie, a gold medal to go along with everything else he's accomplished to this point. And remember, he just became a dad for the first time this year too, and he got arrested and thrown in jail momentarily by the Louisville police at the U.S. Open. So goodness, could you have packed more into a year than Scottie Scheffler did and has? And it's still time. There's still time, right? Still the FedEx playoffs and all that jazz to come. And I wouldn't put anything past him. It's early August, and he's done more this year than most people do over a 5 or 6 year span. Although let's save the getting arrested part. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Tommy Fleetwood, kind of neat for him to be there in Europe and to win a medal, a silver medal for him. But I think he was proud of it anyway, even though it was a bit of a missed opportunity.
There's part of me that's disappointed, of course, but at the same time, I you know, never dreamt that I would be an Olympic medalist. I'm still unbelievably proud and happy with the way the week went. I was proud of the way I played today. I enjoyed it so much. I take that away from it. This was an incredible atmosphere to play in front of this week and to be a part of. And I haven't been in the mix that much recently, and I think being back there and playing well and feeling how that felt again, I enjoyed it so much, and I'm unbelievably proud to be an Olympic medalist. I never thought that'd happen.
So neat to hear from Tommy Fleetwood, and something that dawns on me as you see Scheffler reduced to tears, as you hear Fleetwood talk about it, we'll get to Novak Djokovic coming up. Something that is so clear is that these can be the most accomplished Olympians, or excuse me, the most accomplished professional athletes on the planet. And in some cases, they are. We're talking about NBA players who've won rings and MVPs. And what do they want to do? Well, they want to win an Olympic gold. They want to represent their countries. We're talking about the number one golfer in the world who doesn't need to take this time to golf at the Olympics. It's not as though there's some monetary benefit to it. It's not as though it's going to give him some name recognition that he doesn't already have. He doesn't need the promotion. He could probably use the time off to spend with his family, no doubt. And instead, he desires to be there and rep the red, white, and blue. So these are not sports that we only see become mainstream every 4 years. These are humongous sports, not just in the U.S., but around the world, that come with millions and millions of dollars for the victors. In some cases, you might think professional athletes would consider the Olympics beneath them, although it's not all amateur athletes anymore. But to see Scottie Scheffler and Tommy Fleetwood and LeBron James and Steph Curry, who's never won an Olympic medal, to see some of the pros and then to hear football players say they would love the chance to compete in the Olympics. Remember, there was this flag football. Well, it's I guess you would say they're football players waving the flag for flag football, carrying the flag for flag football in the Olympics. There's a bunch of NFL players that would campaign to be on that U.S. team. It's not just about the more obscure sports that we only pay attention to once or twice in a four-year period. It's not just about the names that we only hear in the two-week period in the middle of a summertime. Nah, these are athletes who've already accomplished more than they ever dreamed possible. And in some cases are already assured of being Hall of Famers. And yet, the emotions of winning a gold medal, that's a side of them we don't often see. So pretty incredible. Novak Djokovic. Yeah, speaking of emotion, you watched him celebrate with his family after claiming gold at 37 years old. Awesome. That had to be one of my favorite moments, along with Scottie Scheffler. 855-212-4227. Online, A-Law Radio, or our show account at Amy After Hours, our Facebook page too. Thanks for hanging out with us as we usher in a new work week. By the way, I was Googling this. At least one country with more than 170 million people has never won a gold medal or any color medal in the Olympics. I had no idea, but the internet is a pretty incredible thing.
Here on After Hours, we like you as much as you like us.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good.
First, I just want to thank you and all your colleagues for keeping me busy while I work all night.
You're welcome.
Hey, Amy, how's it going tonight?
Great.
Good. I just started listening to you about a month ago. I'm a new night pharmacist.
Hey, Amy, I really enjoy the enthusiasm you bring to the early morning hours. It's so nice to listen to someone this enthusiastic this early in the morning.
How you doing, Amy?
I'm good.
Thanks for putting on a good show every night. I listen to it at work.
Awesome.
It really helps me get through the night.
I appreciate that you're tuning in. Thank you.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It happened as recently as late last week when I heard from a listener who said that he works late nights. He gets home, he starts listening to the show until he completely passes out. It just crashes. And I appreciate that. If you can actually fall asleep to the sound of my voice and, of course, the music that we play, we're glad to keep you company, whatever it is that you need. And I hope your weekend was exactly what you needed as well. It's always a mixed bag in the summer where people are going on vacation, coming home from vacation, heading to the beach. I did take my husband to the Jersey Shore for the first time. We were trying to escape the heat and the humidity. We took a cooler full of snacks. I'm pretty sure I ate 3/4 of them, including the wraps that we had for lunch. He fell asleep a couple times, so I was busy reading my book and eating the snacks and drinking all the water and then taking a couple of furtive photos of him while he was hunched over in his beach chair. I call them Texan at the beach. He's wearing a long sleeve shirt. It's just not the same way that I go to the beach, but I'm glad he enjoyed it. The beach was beautiful.
You mean, is it like for the sun that he's doing that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do the same thing.
Yeah,
so my friends look at me like I'm crazy, but I don't care as long as I don't get burned.
Right. I understand that. And he did say it was a sun shirt, the type that keeps you cool, kind of that moisture wicking shirt. But it was so hot and humid. And I kept going down to the surf, down to the water's edge just to get wet up to my knees or to my waist. It was pretty cold. I wasn't going all the way in. And the waves actually were crashing. They were high enough and they were crashing enough that they put the yellow flag up for caution on the lifeguard's chair. So they were still allowing people in the water, but they had tried to caution people. And I heard one of the lifeguards say the current was really strong. So yeah, they were definitely some big waves. It was fun to get cooled off and stick my feet in and even look for a few shells there. Mostly just read 150 pages of my book while my husband slept. But it was nice. It was my first beach day outside of Hawaii and our honeymoon, and I really enjoyed it. But also had a blowout. Also had some other stuff that didn't quite go the way that I wanted. We did watch a really good movie, actually. Maybe I'll tell you about that at some point. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, 855-212-4227. In addition to the Olympics being all the rage around the world, do you know what else is trending right now on social media? And again, this is a benefit of being someone who's working overnight, where Europe and the Middle East, but also the Far East, are well into their Monday. Apparently, the Tokyo Stock Exchange, the Japanese stock exchange, has just suffered a massive drop. And according to the reports, and these are all online, not only is stock market crash trending, but Black Monday is trending, meaning the financial aspect of it. What's happening online is that people are saying this is the largest stock market collapse for Japan since the late 1980s. And Korea's exchange was suspended following an 8% decline. And so there's kind of widespread panic in many cases. Now, our markets don't open for another few hours, but what is trending right now on social is stock market crash and anything to do with finance and business. And so I don't exactly know why. I'm not big into stock market. Of course, I have a 401k and some of that is invested. And I know my mom and her husband, they've got money invested. I think my brother does as well. And generally, the idea is that you wait it out. Whenever there's a crash, you wait it out. Think about the different stock market crashes slash financial recessions. Now, of course, we're big into inflation. And some people are still predicting a recession, that it's coming, even though it feels like the world has mostly avoided it since the pandemic. Yes, inflation is way, way, way up. The economy is really tough right now. But the whole idea behind the high interest rates is that it would potentially avoid recession. Well, in the case of the stock market and some of the different waves, the highs and the lows, what you generally hear from long-term investors is sit tight. What goes down must come up again, right? Or what goes up must come down. It's both. And there's such volatility in the stock market. But if this is true, and the Japanese trend will then make its way to this side of the globe and the United States markets that open in a few hours, well, it could be some type of a dramatic Monday. And I dare say, in addition to the war in the Middle East, as I was driving into work, I was hearing reports that any minute now, Israel expects Iran to retaliate for what happened in the last few days. It's back and forth, back and forth. So between that and the Olympics and a stock market crash, it's a global conversation right now. So for those of you who are big into the stock market or you understand all of these things, there was a time when I was much more averse to talking about it because it didn't affect me at all. I think when you're younger, you think, ah, there's nothing to do with me, so what do I care? But you recognize it's all connected. But also, having an accounting degree, I had to study both micro and macroeconomics. And yeah, definitely is all interconnected. So I hope on this early Monday morning for many of you, not all of you, but early Monday morning for those of you on the East Coast, we do have some expats that listen across the pond. And maybe you're up watching the Olympics. I don't know. There are definitely live events going on. But if you are keyed in or clued into what's happening, I suppose this might be a time where the ripple effects would begin. So yeah, it's pretty dramatic, at least on Twix, what's trending right now. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Novak Djokovic about 12 hours ago was trending himself. He beats Carlos Alcaraz in straight sets, a very tight match, needing tie breaks. He ends up claiming his first gold medal in multiple Olympics, right? So this is not his first rodeo. This is not Steph Curry who's attempting to win his first medal. This is Novak Djokovic, who's been around, finally wins the gold medal at 37 years old.
I thought that 2012 opening ceremony in London, carrying the flag for my country, the opening ceremony, opening the Olympic Games, is the best feeling that an athlete could have. Aww. Until today. This kind of supersedes everything that I imagined, that hoped that I could experience and that I could feel. And the fact that I won the bronze in the first Olympic Games and ever since then failed to win the medal, and, you know, played 3 out of 4 Olympic Games in semifinals and couldn't overcome that obstacle. And then now at age 37, you know, with 21-year-old that is probably the best player in the world right now, winning Roland Garros and Wimbledon back-to-back and playing incredible tennis. Just when I take everything in consideration, this probably is the biggest sporting success I've ever had in my career.
And that's coming from a man who's won 24 Grand Slam trophies and spent more weeks atop the world rankings than anyone in history, man or woman. He owned a bronze medal from 2008, but before Paris, he'd been 0-3 in Olympic semifinals. So he ends up taking out Rafael Nadal as well as Carlos Alcaraz to win a gold medal. Awesome. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
First, I just want to thank you and all your colleagues for keeping me busy while I work all night.
You're welcome.
Hey, Amy, how's it going tonight?
Great.
Good. I just started listening to you about a month ago. I'm a new night pharmacist.
Hey, Amy, I really enjoy the enthusiasm you bring to the early morning hours. It's so nice to listen to someone this enthusiastic this early in the morning.
How you doing, Amy?
I'm good.
Thanks for putting on a good show every night. I listen to it at work.
Awesome.
It really helps me get through the night.
I appreciate that you're tuning in. Thank you.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It happened as recently as late last week when I heard from a listener who said that he works late nights. He gets home, he starts listening to the show until he completely passes out. It just crashes. And I appreciate that. If you can actually fall asleep to the sound of my voice and, of course, the music that we play, we're glad to keep you company, whatever it is that you need. And I hope your weekend was exactly what you needed as well. It's always a mixed bag in the summer where people are going on vacation, coming home from vacation, heading to the beach. I did take my husband to the Jersey Shore for the first time. We were trying to escape the heat and the humidity. We took a cooler full of snacks. I'm pretty sure I ate 3/4 of them, including the wraps that we had for lunch. He fell asleep a couple times, so I was busy reading my book and eating the snacks and drinking all the water and then taking a couple of furtive photos of him while he was hunched over in his beach chair. I call them Texan at the beach. He's wearing a long sleeve shirt. It's just not the same way that I go to the beach, but I'm glad he enjoyed it. The beach was beautiful.
You mean, is it like for the sun that he's doing that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do the same thing.
Yeah,
so My friends look at me like I'm crazy, but I don't care as long as I don't get burned.
Right. I understand that. And he did say it was a sun shirt, the type that keeps you cool, kind of that moisture wicking shirt. But it was so hot and humid. And I kept going down to the surf, down to the water's edge just to get wet up to my knees or to my waist. It was pretty cold. I wasn't going all the way in. And the waves actually were crashing. They were high enough and they were crashing enough that they put the yellow flag up for caution on the lifeguard's chair. So they were still allowing people in the water, but they had tried to caution people. And I heard one of the lifeguards say the current was really strong. So yeah, they were definitely some big waves. It was fun to get cooled off and stick my feet in and even look for a few shells there. Mostly just read 150 pages of my book while my husband slept, but it was nice. It was my first beach day outside of Hawaii and our honeymoon, and I really enjoyed it. But also had a blowout Also had some other stuff that didn't quite go the way that I wanted. We did watch a really good movie, actually. Maybe I'll tell you about that at some point. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, 855-212-4227. In addition to the Olympics being all the rage around the world, do you know what else is trending right now on social media? And again, this is a benefit of being someone who's working overnight, where Europe and the Middle East, but also the Far East, are well into their Monday. Apparently, the Tokyo Stock Exchange, the Japanese stock exchange, has just suffered a massive drop. And according to the reports, and these are all online, not only is stock market crash trending, but Black Monday is trending, meaning the financial aspect of it. What's happening online is that people are saying this is the largest stock market collapse for Japan since the late 1980s. And Korea's exchange was suspended following an 8% decline. And so there's kind of widespread panic in many cases. Now, our markets don't open for another few hours, but what is trending right now on social is stock market crash and anything to do with finance and business. And so I don't exactly know why. I'm not big into stock market. Of course, I have a 401k and some of that is invested. And I know my mom and her husband, they've got money invested. I think my brother does as well. And generally, the idea is that you wait it out. Whenever there's a crash, you wait it out. Think about the different stock market crashes slash financial recessions. Now, of course, we're big into inflation. And some people are still predicting a recession, that it's coming, even though it feels like the world has mostly avoided it since the pandemic. Yes, inflation is way, way, way up. The economy is really tough right now. But the whole idea behind the high interest rates is that it would potentially avoid recession. Well, in the case of the stock market and some of the different waves, the highs and the lows, what you generally hear from long-term investors is sit tight. What goes down must come up again, right? Or what goes up must come down. It's both. And there's such volatility in the stock market. But if this is true, and the Japanese trend will then make its way to this side of the globe and the United States markets that open in a few hours, well, it could be some type of a dramatic Monday. And I dare say, in addition to the war in the Middle East, as I was driving into work, I was hearing reports that any minute now, Israel expects Iran to retaliate for what happened in the last few days. It's back and forth, back and forth. So between that and the Olympics and a stock market crash, it's a global conversation right now. So for those of you who are big into the stock market or you understand all of these things, there was a time when I was much more averse to talking about it because it didn't affect me at all. I think when you're younger, you think, ah, that's nothing to do with me, so what do I care? But you recognize it's all connected. But also, having an accounting degree, I had to study both micro and macroeconomics. And yeah, definitely is all interconnected. So I hope on this early Monday morning for many of you, not all of you, but early Monday morning for those of you on the East Coast, we do have some expats that listen across the pond. And maybe you're up watching the Olympics. I don't know. There are definitely live events going on. But if you are keyed in or clued into what's happening, I suppose this might be a time where the ripple effects would begin. So yeah, it's pretty dramatic, at least on Twix, what's trending right now. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Novak Djokovic about 12 hours ago was trending himself. He beats Carlos Alcaraz in straight sets, a very tight match, needing tie breaks. He ends up claiming his first gold medal in multiple Olympics, right? So this is not his first rodeo. This is not Steph Curry who's attempting to win his first medal. This is Novak Djokovic, who's been around, finally wins the gold medal at 37 years old.
I thought that 2012 opening ceremony in London, carrying the flag for my country, the opening ceremony, opening the Olympic Games, is the best feeling that an athlete could have. Aww. Until today. This kind of supersedes everything that I imagined, that hoped that I could experience and that I could feel. And the fact that I won the bronze in the first Olympic Games and ever since then failed to win the medal and, you know, played 3 out of 4 Olympic Games in semifinals and couldn't overcome that obstacle. And then now at age 37, you know, with a 21-year-old that is probably the best player in the world right now, winning Roland Garros and Wimbledon back-to-back and playing incredible tennis, just when I take everything in consideration, this probably is the biggest sporting success I've ever had in my career.
And that's coming from a man who's won 24 Grand Slam trophies and spent more weeks atop the world rankings than anyone in history, man or woman. He owned a bronze medal from 2008, but before Paris, he'd been 0-3 in Olympic semifinals. So he ends up taking out Rafael Nadal as well as Carlos Alcaraz to win a gold medal. Awesome. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.